We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I mean, I'm never going to say no. I don't love trading future ones. If it makes sense, I'll do it, but I don't love it.
I mean, come on. I know you. You know you. And I know you know that I know you.
Right or wrong, I probably deserve criticism for trading up sometimes. I get that. But if there's a guy I like and I'm confident, I want to go to bed Thursday night that I got him. I'll take any call. You know me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. It is Friday. Let's go. Under a week.
Under a week. Thank God. Josh Schmidt on that open. I know you. You know you. Come on.
Ben right? Stiller and Dodgeball,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. Very good. Jeremy and Joe.
Happy Taylor Swift album release day.
Yes, that's right. And in the middle of the night, we found out it was a double album.
Yeah.
So
double album. We found out yesterday there's a collab with Post Malone.
Yep. Everybody enjoy. I felt obligated to listen to some on the way in, so I'm not behind America that does that.
Yeah. Twitter was like up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like,
I think my wife stayed up to wait for the release to listen to some. Yeah.
Oh, if I didn't have a 4:45 alarm, like I was staying up for that too. I realized I made a glaring error in recent weeks. Do you have one of these premium music subscriptions where you can kind of listen to whatever you want without?
Yeah.
I decided, I guess, a few weeks ago, and I'd forgotten about this, to get rid of that. Mm. Like, what do I need this for? I don't even listen to that much music. If I do, I listen to it. I listen to it on the radio, and I listen to mostly podcasts. Podcasts, I don't need this, so I'm gonna get rid of it. And then this morning, I really badly needed it. Like, unlimited amount of skips, ads, what are we doing? Terrible.
Yeah.
So my annoyance, I guess, this morning.
Hmm. Well, good luck, everybody. It's Friday. We reached the weekend. Congratulations. It is inside a week to the draft. Brandon Bean spoke yesterday, so did Josh Allen.
Yep.
So we had a lot of draft talk. I listened to the station a lot yesterday, and how much of this is like hosting a show versus being really honest. I got put into a dark place by how many people legitimately made the case that Bean pointed out they really don't need a receiver. And I thought,
yeah,
I need this draft to happen in 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's playing the game.
I guess.
He's playing the game. He doesn't want to say, I'm drafting a number one wide receiver because he doesn't want other teams to assume that he couldn't do anything else.
That's right. That's definitely right. It's, I don't know. I mean, I'm all over the place. I've got the wide receiver big board here. We can assemble our big board for the draft party, which is going to be Thursday night next week.
Jeremy's taking the liberty to put Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top.
Bold take.
Yeah, the hot one.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. I mean, it's not Ricky Pearsall at the top. It's Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
Anyway, our number's 803-0550. What do we want to do with this? I mean, I guess part of this conversation should be discussing how reasonable it would be to be upset with the Bills if they don't do something significant at the position. How reasonable is that to be really bewildered, confused, whatever? I mean, they got rid of Stephon Diggs late in the game here. We were talking receivers for months before they traded Diggs.
Right.
And I think there's a good look here. You know, Bean doesn't want to tip his hand, doesn't want to talk about trading up. You know, he doesn't like giving away a future one. And I started thinking about a couple things that came out of the press conference. He talked about future ones and whether or not he would trade a future one. The Bills are mocked to trade up in this draft all over the place, mm-hmm. that they might trade a future one to go to 9 for the Bears. Okay, whatever. Without even saying if you think they will or if it's a smart idea, consider the possibility that they would. I think it's very possible that they would consider it. And here's why. Two things he said yesterday. He said, first off, he wouldn't rule it out. So sure. Don't love giving up future firsts, but if it makes sense, okay, immediately you're talking about it making sense. There are plenty of people that would say to you, it never makes sense to do it. You should never do it. You should never give a future first to move up in a draft. It's too much of a crapshoot. There's too much randomness. But the other thing I thought about was, let's go back to when they drafted Josh Allen. When they drafted Allen, it is amazing, remarkable, that Bean was able to move up to seventh.
Yeah.
And not give up an additional first.
Yep.
He not only did he not give up the first of next year, they had a first-round pick the following year. Why didn't he want to part ways with that pick the year they moved up for Josh Allen? And the answer is, listen, we're turning things over at quarterback. Tyrod's gone. I've got Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen, and I don't know if they had A.J. McCarron at the time.
They did.
Okay.
Oh, at the time of the draft?
Draft,
I think
yes.
They probably did, yeah.
Okay, so if they had him, fine. The point is, though, they know, listen, this might be a little bit of a year where we take a step back in wins and losses because we're drafting a rookie quarterback and having an open competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that as the GM going in, I'm very much wanting to protect my first-round pick the following year. He did protect it. He protected it. He also didn't give up the pick that was Tremaine Edmonds. Anyway, what I'm getting at, Joe, is they picked ninth. He knew, could have a struggle year. I don't want to give up that first. They picked ninth. Do you know where the Bills have slotted in? Not picked, but slotted in the years since then. Where have they slotted into the draft? Because pick is different. You know, they trade up every year. They've slotted in, first off, in the Diggs year, which a pick that they traded.
Was that 22nd?
Yep, you know, they traded 22nd.
Okay.
Since then, they slotted in at 30, 27, and 28.
Yeah.
Not the same as number 9. He also talked about, so there's two things. One, he protected the first. He's not ruling it out. Doesn't want to. One year, he protects it because he knows they're going to pick 9th. Mm-hmm. Then he talked about another team's future picks. Well, you know, if I'm making a trade and I'm getting a future, I'm asking myself, is that a perennial playoff contender? Because then I might, you know, in so many words, he says, if I get a 2 from whichever perennial playoff contender, it's kind of like a 3. Is he talking about his own team there?
Yeah.
If I trade you a 1 off of this team, I expect this team to finish, what, drafting anywhere 25th to 32nd?
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it any lower than 25th.
Yeah, if Josh Allen were to get hurt and you end up giving them the 11th overall pick, yes, we're upset you don't have that pick, but we've got bigger problems. You know, a season go down the tubes or Allen's hurt or whatever. But if everything goes to plan, it doesn't always go to plan, where would everyone estimate the Bills pick next year, give or take? If I gave you a 4-pick range, you would probably land on somewhere between 27 and 31.
That's exactly the range I was just
27 and 31, because you don't want to get so bold and say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but you'd say that might be possible.
Yeah.
They're going to pick between 27 and 31. So here's Bean talking about not being against trading firsts, and that if you're dealing with a perennial playoff team, it's not exactly the same kind of pick. It's not the same value. That's his team.
Yeah. He did also reference, did you hear him talk about Carolina for that? That there was there were a few times in Carolina where they traded future first and they ended up regretting it because they got to the next year.
Yep.
And I looked back. I only found one instance that ever happened while he was with the Panthers. They drafted Jeff Oda, who I've never heard of. He's a tackle. They traded up from the second round and they gave up their first round pick the next year to get a second first round pick in 2008. And then the next year, you know who went where the pick that they gave up was? Eric Wood. Like
28th?
28th. They gave up the pick that ended up being 28th. So he says that, but even there, like, you know, it's a late first round pick. Your player didn't end up being great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who that player is. Maybe he started for them. But 3-year career didn't really play much. Okay, you traded up into the first round for that guy. Are you going to be spooked for the rest of your football life to not trade a future first-round pick because the one time you did it in Carolina 20 years ago, it didn't really work because the tackle didn't end up being great? I would just hope that would not be a real influence over whether or not he'll do it. I don't want to believe almost anything he said yesterday on this front. That, like, sure, it might be irresponsible in a sense to trade all of that and go up and get a guy, but I think he's playing the draft game. I can't believe that the comment about having different skill sets and you don't need a wide receiver one, I don't think Bean truly believes that. He just saw what Stephon Diggs in this offense can do for 4 years and what the value of that is. That would be to say, I mean, if you were to take him 100% at his word yesterday, that would be that if he got an opportunity to do the Diggs trade all over again, that he wouldn't do it. And I don't believe that. I think if he had a chance to do the exact same thing he just did, a new version of the Diggs trade, if the Niners called up and gave him an offer for Brandon Ayuk that he liked, that he would say no because, well, I don't need a number one wide receiver. I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah, there's also a twisted logic in there. If you're someone that agrees with that, what, do you want them to draft a receiver in the second round and have that guy not be that good? Don't you want that receiver to be amazing, no matter who they are? It's like, why would anyone say you don't want the best player at any position? Now, I don't want the best tackle in the league. I'd like my talent on the offensive line to be more balanced than having an amazing guy on the left side.
Right.
No one would say that. I don't want TJ Watt. I'd rather have a series of defensive ends that are just good. No one would say that.
He's also saying it because he doesn't have a guy that fits the profile right now.
That's right.
Just imagine if he came out yesterday and said, I don't think you need a number one left tackle.
Right.
Like, well, wait a minute. We're just taking a shot at Deion Dawkins? What are you doing there?
Right.
He's just not gonna. He's not gonna say that about any position where he's got a number one. I can't believe, you know, I'm still seeing graphics on ESPN with Justin Shorter's name on it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Six more days till he's off that graphic, right?
Yeah.
I gotta
six
hope
more
so.
Days. I mean, it's just it's kind of funny. The draft, this is, the draft came a week too late. It should have been yesterday.
Should have been a month ago.
Should have been a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We're deep into it. Bean talking yesterday, Josh Allen addressing the Stephon Diggs departure, sent him a text, and on and on and on. You know, you've got a lot of juice here. The question comes down to, how desperate should they be at that position? I can remember the Kyir Elam draft year. That was a year where, I mean, we didn't like to say they were desperate, but that was clearly the spot that they needed. It was a near-perfect roster, we thought. Pretty close to a perfect roster. The last two drafts, the Bills have entered it with conversations about having the best roster in football, right?
Especially 2 years ago, yeah. Everybody wanted to tell you that that was true.
Yep, they had the best roster in football.
Yep.
It's why they got mocked running backs, because, like, well, they don't really need that much. They could decide to go for someone explosive.
Yep.
This is before James Cook bursts onto the scene and shows everybody he can do that job.
It's why they were the Super Bowl favorite after not winning the Super Bowl or even reaching the AFC Championship the year before. And go look up how rare it is that the defending Super Bowl champion is not the favorite going into the next year.
Yeah.
And the Bills were the favorite. They hadn't even reached the conference championship game. That's how much respect their roster got.
And now, not the case.
Now, I feel like it's a little overstated, though.
I'm not saying that their roster is in shambles.
Right.
But I don't really hear anybody saying best roster in football.
It's because of what they are, a receiver.
It's not only that, it's Hyde and Poyer and Tre'Davious White and Von Miller being hurt. Like, I think what's happened to the defensive side of the ball is as much of that as what's happened at receiver with Diggs and Davis both leaving. But their offensive line is fine, their quarterback is elite, their defense I have tons of faith in because of who calls it. I just don't see really many people saying best roster in football.
No, that's true.
And I don't know that anything in the draft is going to change that. If they take
they would have needed to keep Diggs.
Probably.
To ever get to that, like, if they had kept Diggs and then traded up and drafted Brian Thomas.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Maybe
that's right.
You'd still find someone out there. Because because I don't think they're that different than what they were a couple of years ago when everyone said best roster in football. I think the biggest difference is, well, they're big. Receiver is way different. And they don't have their safeties anymore. Like, to me, corner, they're just as good as they were. If Rasul Douglas was as good as he was the last eight games, they don't have wide receivers, and they no longer have all-pro safeties.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two key differences to when they were called the best roster in football.
So they probably have to fill those spots, right? And yet, here we are talking, you know, what's different at defensive end?
From then?
Yeah, from...
Not much,
not
right?
much.
Well, to be fair, isn't the moment everyone started saying best roster in football is when they thought they were getting peak Von Miller?
That's probably right.
So maybe it is different, even though we only had it for eight games.
Although when they signed Jordan Phillips, remember his press conference, I mean, Jordan Phillips is gone by now, but he's up there at the podium, like, best quarterback in football, best receiver in football, best safeties in football. He lists off 10 things that are amazing about the Bills. Like, why wouldn't I come back? This place is stacked. And Phillips comes back. He's a depth signing. We love that. Yeah, so we lived in a little bit of an era there where we felt like the Bills had the best roster in football. And the results of it back it up. They have more wins than any team in a four-year stretch, without winning a Super Bowl, than anybody. It's them and the Saints had a four-year run of most wins without a Super Bowl. The Saints ultimately did win one soon after. So, you know, the Bills are coming from a mountaintop of having a great roster and high expectations. And this year, if it's a retooling or if it's getting younger or whatever it is. Allen's up there talking yesterday about how getting younger is not bad. And I don't think anybody says getting younger is bad. This team might even be a little late on that. They've got 10 draft picks. They, you know, they traded two to get up to the second spot. That's worth mentioning as well. In the second round of next year's draft, that Diggs trade, doesn't that second round pick next year show me the Bills are trying to move up? Because what they really did, they gave up a fifth and a sixth with Diggs to get a second.
Yeah.
So if you're on the phone with Houston to talk about what can get this done, Houston probably offers, we'll give you a third.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the Bills, you might say, like, perfect, stock the cupboard, more picks are better. Don't we always say that, right? I hear that all the time. It's better to have more picks. And yet in this deal, the Bills gave up Diggs and they spent two picks to get one pick. That is trading up in next year's draft.
Right.
They traded up in next year's draft. Why'd they want that second rounder? Is it because, if we're like reading the tea leaves on whether or not they want to trade up, is it because if they want to move up to 17 for Brian Thomas Jr. and they know that with Jacksonville, said, listen, I don't want to give you a one. If I got you a two next year, would you do it?
Yeah. Well, is part of it also that they didn't have a third? Is that kind of the equivalent of, hey, if a team wants a third in an offer, can he now say, well, I don't have a third this year, but I can offer you a second next year? Or does he feel more comfortable offering up his own second next year because that's closer to a third? Like, it just gives you more options.
Flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, he might not have a specific trade-up idea in mind when he makes the Diggs trade, but, like, what are the odds? What are the odds they have three picks in the first two rounds of next year's draft? What are the odds that they're just going to, in the next year, they're going to use all three of those picks?
Good question.
1 year from now. Like, I would think it's pretty low. You have two opportunities to trade up because you have two drafts. But I think if you are trying to go up into the middle, you're trying to pick from next year's draft. It's the not having a third round pick. You know, if a team wants a second, the Seahawks, hey Bills, we'll move down with you. But we want a second round pick for that. And imagine Bean then. Okay, I like the price, but if I do that, I don't pick again till round four this year. By having 2 seconds next year, maybe he feels a little more comfortable. All right, well, I'll give you a second from next year, and I'll add a fourth in this year to kind of make up the difference of you having to wait a year. I think having that second next year kind of allows him to trade a second without, again, having to wait from the 17th pick all the way to round four this year and feeling like your draft's kind of a one-man class, which is what I think it would be if they traded their first and second to move up into the middle. It would feel like it's a one-man class,
yeah.
Despite the fact I know they would have like eight other players in day three that would be along the way.
803-0550 is our phone number if you want to chime in, 1-888-550-2550. It is smokescreen season, and Bean was throwing down the smokescreen yesterday. Confident in the group of receivers they have, which might be, you know, the worst in the league. It's probably bottom five right now. And that's to say Curtis Samuel and Shakir look good.
Did he talk about any of them specifically? Did he talk about Samuel and Shakir even? What I was looking for yesterday, and I didn't hear it, but again, I don't think I heard it about Samuel and Shakir either. The real signs, if he really believed that their wide receiver core was okay or was, you know, good enough to where, well, if it didn't fall right for us, a receiver, like, we don't feel like we need to force it, he would have been talking up Justin Shorter and Matt Collins. Because those are the two that stand to play if they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything about those two specifically. He talked about the group, but until I hear any sort of comment about Justin Shorter's development in year one or what Matt Collins has as a capability to start on the outside or whatever, if I hear anything that's glowing about those two, okay, then I'll believe that they really think that they don't have to force it. But until that day, I think a lot of it's window dressing.
And I think it all comes down to one thing, Joe. It's not about a big trade-up. We don't have to sit here and talk about whether or not it's smart to trade up the four. It's, will Bean let the draft come to him and just be passive? Or will he do what he said he likes to do, go to bed Thursday night knowing they got the guy they wanted? He does give you stuff, and there's some contradictory stuff along the way, right? Like, trading up.
Mm-hmm.
They trade up all the time. We give the Bills a lot of credit for being a pretty smart team under Brandon Bean. They make generally good moves.
Yep.
Are we sure they're a smart draft team? What evidence is there that they're one of the smart teams when it comes to the draft? They do two, maybe two and a half things that people say don't do. One, they trade up all the time. All the time.
Yep.
Two, they take running backs relatively early.
Those are like the two cardinal sins.
And the third might be linebackers. It's not exactly a premium position. They spend linebackers.
I had that yesterday. I think, what did I have? They were like fourth in the, he's like the fourth among GMs in the league in draft capital spent on linebackers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not to say like they're bad, but they have their own approach.
Yeah.
When it comes to evaluating them against the, whatever, the consensus smart moves, don't overspend on linebacker, running back, and don't trade up. Those are three of the cardinal things to do.
Well, and isn't another thing people say not to do is draft for need, and isn't that what he did with Kyrie Elam 2 years ago?
And Greg Rousseau, who's not a bad pick. And Boogie Basham, you could say that's all. That's the top of our board.
I tend to think everybody really does that. I think I don't want to single out Bean for, you're the only GM that drafts for need. But you could say that about him too, if you really wanted.
I think it's a big myth that people just take the top guy on their board. Of course, they do more than that. I mean, otherwise you just said it's auto draft. I like to say that a lot because these GMs need to make picks.
Right.
Yesterday in Detroit, there's a story told where all the scouts didn't want a player, and the GM and the coach banged the table for him, and they took the player.
Yeah.
And it turned out good. So, you know, there they are, Detroit, on the clock. What should we do? And the GM and the coach overrule the scouts.
Yeah. Well, on the draft, like, all the trading up and running back stuff, the running back stuff plays into that too. They are sitting here after, what is it, six drafts with Brandon Bean as their general manager, and they are not strong at, I would argue, the two most important positions after quarterback. Like, the two positions of need, positions of need on this roster right now are wide receiver and defensive end. I would argue those are your two most important positions after quarterback. And part of the reason they had to sign Von Miller to a $100 million contract is they failed to find a star pass rusher in the draft previously. And part of the reason we're sitting here today with a glaring need at wide receiver is they haven't even taken a swing in the draft at wide receiver. They are 3 years too late at that position. So at least, and I guess they've tried, they've made picks, 2 seconds, a first, you know, they've tried at end, but, you know, part of their drafting running backs and linebackers in the past is, well, this is why you are sitting here needing a wide receiver and needing another really good defensive end.
It's going to be exciting. Thursday. Next Thursday.
Well, and a week from today is Thursday. A week from today is the good fantasy night, because that's where all the running backs go usually.
Yeah.
Just hopefully not to this team.
Boy, if they go running back in the second round and tell me to think of him like a receiver. I got people in my mentions yesterday telling me, think about Kincaid as a receiver. No.
I mean, he's going to be their number one target, though.
Maybe.
You go to Our Lads right now and look up Bill's depth chart. Justin Shorter is listed as a starter. Six more days.
I can't look at it anymore. Mac Hollins on the outside?
Yeah, they put him above there. I don't know what the science is on that, but
yeah. 803-0550, happy Friday. We'll have lots to talk about today. You know, it's draft season. We're inside of a week.
Also, Peyton Krebs guaranteed a Stanley Cup yesterday. I don't know who had that on the bingo card.
He said, I believe we're going to win one. We're going to win one.
I'll get the exact words. He didn't quite say I guarantee a cup.
It was, we're going to win one. I know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is something.
Sure. For a guy that are we even sure he's going to be here next year?
I'm not positive he's on this roster next year at all.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to that too. 803-0550, happy Friday. It is Friday, April 19th. We are 6 days out from the draft, of course, night one of the draft. And, you know, a week from today is rounds 2 and 3. Rain's on the way, so is the draft, and we'll take your calls. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.